Oddly, I'm going to begin today by telling you what, according to a pretty well-recognized poll done every year, the six top fears of Americans in 2016. So elements in five different categories are considered, and people rate them in order of very afraid or afraid or not. But wait a minute. First, I want to tell you the bottom five fears in descending order. Zombies, strangers, ghosts, clowns, and the last one with the least votes, others talking behind your back. That's the least significant on the list that Americans felt anxious about. So now, the top five. I'll say that the sixth was illness and death of someone I love. But the top five are, in fifth place, government restrictions on guns, firearms, and ammunition. In fourth place, terrorism in general. In third place, not having enough money for the future. In second place, an actual on our land terrorist attack. And I wonder if you would guess the top number one thing that Americans are either afraid of. It's not healthcare, that is on the list, kind of in the middle. What's that? Well, it is fear of corrupt government officials and what they will do, whoever they are, on whatever party you honor. So we have to begin today by acknowledging that our Unitarian Universalist faith and each of our particular lives is being lived out in a general atmosphere of fear and anxiety about our safety, our government, our terrorism, financial ability. We live in these particularly anxious, uncertain times, not helped by all of the research that's been done about how the news cycle creates anxiety. Our brains are, the first thing our brains gravitate to in life is that which causes us threat. And so if there's a news cycle, the things that make us fearful are there over and over again because that's what sells, because that's what our brains are attracted to first. The civic task that we adults have is to discern the truth, the facts, as we participate as citizens of a democracy. The spiritual task that we have is to never bow to the idea that what is presented in the news that makes us fearful and anxious is anywhere near what reality really is, what the fullness of life and being human is. It is our spiritual task to be in the present with an eye to love and beauty, hope and awe, and to resist our attraction to that which makes us anxious, in large amounts anyway. Our eighth graders preparing to enter this world, and they too will have to learn to stay centered on the truth and the wholeness of living in the face of much that seeks to sway us into seeing things as hopelessly divided and worthy of entrenchment on one side or the other. How can we not be hopeful about their ability to do this after hearing what they shared today? They are, through their process of considering their beliefs, equipping themselves to both love themselves, trust themselves, and also to mind some values that seek not to divide, that are not based on stamping out others to promote one's own vision out of fear. It matters more than you in this congregation give yourself credit for that you provide the space, the resources, the staff for a religious exploration program that has nurtured these youth toward the values, the beliefs, the self-definition that they expressed here today. It's good for them, and it's good for the world, critical, actually, for the world, for these kind of people to be growing into adulthood. It matters more than we often pause to celebrate that the parents of these eighth graders brought their children here on Sunday mornings week after week, and that they, every other year, themselves teach in the religious exploration program. Some of them have gone to be with their children, but if you're a parent of one of those eighth graders, please stand up. So I thank you on behalf of your children, on behalf of the world who needs them, and I thank you simply because they are delightful and interesting and loving people. Thank you. Any parent knows that they are not perfect, but through that imperfection, we learn. It is good for your children, and it is good for the world, critical, actually, that you are raising them with the values expressed in their statements of belief, and I know you are proud. So my title today was Spaciousness Outside of the Box. It matters greatly that people learn how to navigate in spaciousness outside of the usual box, which is full of negativity and fear. And this spaciousness is at the core of Unitarian Universalism. These statements of belief, all of them represented four main principles of our faith that seek to have us always living in that free space where possibility and creativity and room for everyone exists. And these four principles are creedlessness, the inherent worth of every human being, the expectation of a life lived in service to others and to love, and the recognition of something larger than ourselves by whatever name it is called. First, then, our creedless faith, the idea that every person must, in a creedal religion, subscribe to that creed in order to belong. Here are Keith's words in his wonderful poem. Promises are meant for all, unlike a given creed, for promises are to be kept to fill a common need. A little social psychology now. One of the most important ideas in social psychology in the last two decades is something called terror management theory. It posits that because we are all conscious of our own mortality and truly, at our core, we are anxious about it, which some call existential anxiety, that to manage this, we embrace a cultural worldview that provides us with order, meaning, importance, safety, self-esteem. And the effectiveness of this creed is to depend on the agreement of others who share our beliefs. Meanwhile, the existence of other people with beliefs and values that differ from our own can undermine the protection that we feel this worldview provides. So according to the theory, when these beliefs are threatened, we will go to great lengths to preserve and defend them. Those who wish to promote their worldview as the only possible one will use fear about the fate of the world, or the country, or the person, to ensure that we will gravitate and hang out in the one that seems to make us the most safe. Anxious people tend to stay with the beliefs, the creeds that make them feel safe. We can see by what our eighth graders said that they are learning to think for themselves and to get used to the idea that they can learn to live with those who do not believe as they do. We are teaching them to face the world with this openness, which requires them to learn to be comfortable with ambiguity and uncertainty. Or I could say to abide the discomfort of ambiguity and uncertainty. Ryan writes, I am still wondering, asking myself questions and finding my own truth. He's speaking to the UU idea that if we are fortunate, we allow ourselves to keep wondering and growing. This is spaciousness that allows for what is true about all humans. We are never fully finished. There is a humility in this that helps us stay curious and less likely to glue ourselves to one way of thinking in order to be safe. Caitlin put it this way, I don't believe that my life is already figured out. Katie is able to say at this young age that problems and bumps along the way are normal, are just part of what it means to be human. No life is without hardship, she states. The last detail I included in my drawing is water on top of some of the branches, dripping down onto all of the paths. This shows that I think some bad things in life are unavoidable, but temporary. That word temporary, especially for a teenager, is a spacious word that invites patience and faith to hold sway. Katie accepts that every life has challenges, and this will strengthen her to be brave in the face of them. This teaches that we do not have to retreat in fear when life is rocky. It also binds her in human solidarity with all people. Likewise, Oliver, when speaking about being a foster brother, in fact, foster care is a great thing to do. It gets hard occasionally, but the hard parts made me stronger as a person. These are words of an understanding that commitments to goodness can be hard, but it brings great meaning. High anxiety and uncertainty can also cause people to hunker down with those who are like themselves and name differences as the cause of that which makes them fearful or anxious. Call it scapegoating. The more people can resist the urge to make people who are different the other when we are uncertain or afraid, the better we are able to stay the course toward the beloved community. Are we not steeped in situations now where someone or some group is to blame in order to assuage our fear and uncertainty? The immigrants, the Muslims, the poor people, the people of color, assertive women. When we name others as the source of our fear or our problems, we squelch the possibility that we can learn to live together. And we allow power to rise in which the more privileged are able to create the world in their own image. I went to court with an undocumented immigrant man this past week, and it's been a long time since I've sat in an environment where it was so clear the divisions of we and they. And at another time, I'll tell you more about it, but it was a frightening thing to see. Being as a religion without a creed to which everyone subscribes invites the mindset that we need to try and understand the worldview of others. Alexis writes, one big thing I believe in is the golden rule and making sure you help each other in life, no matter if you know them or not, because you never know what they have gone through and are going through at home. That probably wasn't Alexis, was it? Caitlin, okay. But Alexis put it this way, I believe that anyone can have any religion they want. And she writes at the end of her statement in bold, not everyone needs to agree with these statements. Children who grow up beginning to practice these ideas are going to be the problem solvers and the peacemakers the world is aching for. Those who abide in spaciousness with open hearts and minds are those who break down barriers and abide in the possibilities for which this spaciousness makes room. I know it's 11. And while I will cut out some of this, I did want to at least name the other three. Each person is inherently sacred, inherently worthy. And this from Keith's poem. This promise can remind us of every being's worth, the value that is with us when we stepped upon the earth. Alexis wrote, "We all should be free with equal rights." And Caitlin wrote, "I don't believe that people are born bad." When each person knows their own worth, they're more likely to honor the worth of others. Political life will never be perfect, but keeping our eyes on the prize of the light in every person's soul can go a long way to unentrench us from hatred and separation. The third UU value that keeps us content as individuals and helps us balance out fear and anxiety about the future is service to others. Oliver says, "I served the community as a foster brother, organized monthly food drives, raked leaves for elderly people, helped save the Knobscot River." That's Oliver. Caitlin, "I believe in making the world a better place." Ryan, "I believe that people should be good regardless of whether there's a reward in an afterlife." Alexis, "I believe that nature should not be covered in trash and killing animals and plants in the environment." There's all sorts of research that's now supporting what the best of the great religions have always said. It isn't possible ever for us to be totally happy all the time. But it is possible for us to describe our lives as meaningful and to be content with that which we contribute to the goodness there. We know that it's the best legacy of a human being. Katie wrote, "I believe that although life seems centered around only you at times, the most important thing in it is the people and the things around us." That's an eighth grader who has that awareness. It's wonderful. And finally, the spiritual belief that we are part of something greater than ourselves. Recognizing that beyond our individualism and beyond sometimes often our full understanding, Ryan writes, "The light coming from the top represents the possibility of a higher power." Oliver states, "I believe that everything is interconnected." Caitlin says it this way, "I believe there is a God looking down on us every day." Different ways of pointing to that which abides beyond our own individuality. The light of possibility, interconnection of everything, God. Or in Keith's poem, "This promise does unite us. This promise that is ours, and thus it makes us stronger, for love has many powers." Well, you can see how touched I am. Love has many powers. This promise unites us, makes us stronger. So I personally am ending this hour stronger for having entered into the beliefs of some of the younger among us. I am in this moment aligned with great hope. Rise as you will, as you're able, for the singing of Blue Boat Home.